This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Roger Barnes from Atlassian.
Hey, how are you going? I'm a group product manager at Atlassian. I look after the DevOps and ITSM solutions as they pertain to our self-hosted product, our server and data center offerings.
ITSM and DevOps was once described to me at somebody in a large enterprise as trying to match a jet engine to a scooter. It really doesn't seem to fit when you take the general view of the two. And ITSM is seen as being a massive, process-driven, complex environment. And DevOps, a scooter, whizzing around, fixing things. What is it you're doing to bring them together?
It's certainly a challenge, and I think the biggest challenge is actually bringing customers and companies along the journey as these things are happening. One thing we're definitely seeing is that there are DevOps practices emerging more and more all the time in enterprise, and they're actually putting pressure on IT. The traditional ITSM process-driven ways of working are actually under threat and under pressure. What I see in particular is that it tends to be done in a fairly reactive way because it sneaks up on people. DevOps wants to basically be a more enveloping mindset. It should include everybody, including IT and how that's run. But in practice, it tends to start in one place and then push on the other areas and hopefully in a positive way encourage them to go along the same path.
If we look at some of the initial goals with ITSM, it was to pull together all sorts of things, solve problems we have, run a service desk, push that information back to developers, manage that fix process, help the operations team know what was coming and to be able to schedule what they were doing. We even had extensions that took us out into testing. What has failed? What is the struggle that people have in terms of keeping it fluid and running smoothly rather than getting so process heavy?
There used to be a balance. So software was developed in a certain way that was released in a certain more lengthy cycles, longer time. There was more risk involved, there was more integration involved, and IT and its processes matched with that. And as dev has been broken down and changed and de-risked in smaller batches, and even just being experimental and accepting failure and building in resiliency for those sorts of things, I think it's really about on the ITSM and ITIL side of things is about finding the equivalent ways of embracing those concepts. We think about lean as it applies to DevOps, that same lean thinking and just being more collaborative and actually being more involved in the process, empowering developers, all that sort of stuff needs to start to come about. There's nothing wrong with the principles that these processes that are established exist as. It's really about what can we do to adjust them to be more relevant to the way that work is actually done today.
If I talk to banks or I talk to very large regulated industries, they like ITSM because they've got lots of paperwork and when things go wrong they can point to all of this stuff sitting on the shelf. But what they seem to miss is that any process can be deconstructed. It can be turned into a pipeline for DevOps. It can be automated. And it doesn't mean you lose all those checks and balances. It simply means that all of those repetitive stages that people spend a lot of time doing, which don't really add value, can be given to the machine to handle. Why is it so hard to get that message across into those industries?
Fundamentally, the answer is usually silos, and it is that the risk and compliance teams are used to, again, a certain way that things were done and delivered, therefore they take various requirements or regulations and say, because of this regulation, you need to do X. And then the teams would go off and do that, and that's because everything was all moving at a certain pace, that was okay. Now that's in conflict. If you bring the successful teams that are doing this and bringing the risk and compliance teams into the fold and saying, hey, we're trying to do this a bit faster. Can you help me understand the spirit of what you're trying to regulate or control for? What is the actual outcome you're trying to get to? Can we find another way to do it? And can we basically put in guardrails or automation, as you say, things that make sure the right thing happened? And perhaps even more easily than ever, we've even done this within Atlassian. We're a public company. We have to be SOX compliant. We still have a lot of code moving into production every single day in our cloud environments in particular that is SOX compliant. We have various ways of approaching code review and other checks and balances where we actually worked with the risk and compliance teams to really break down what the real underlying outcome was that they're trying to get to, rather than blindly saying, lock down this, require that, etc.
Why is it that when we talk to a DevOps team, they themselves get quite prickly when risk is mentioned and compliance is mentioned? After all, they're all about speed, and risk and speed are not mutually exclusive.
No, they have to be in balance, that's for sure. It's probably because traditionally risk and compliance comes as a set of things to threaten to slow you down, rather than being put as like, well, okay, we work in the real world, here are some real world constraints. And they're seen as somehow perhaps more laborious or somehow unautomatable. And perhaps that's because of the nature of how they're presented and delivered.
But there's an irony there, isn't there? Because in order to automate, we have to decompose everything into a binary option. It's a yes or a no. You can't have three options or five options if you're going to have effective automation. That seems to suggest that we can de-risk operations and we can better understand our compliance challenge by doing some of that automation.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just a process people need to understand exists. Ultimately, it becomes a collaboration problem, and that's the sort of thing we try and facilitate. Ultimately, the tools won't make you do it. They'll only help you do it if you choose to go down that path.
A good example of all of this is incident response. In a lot of organizations, you get a data breach and suddenly everybody and his dog is involved in the data breach and trying to solve it, but they're all pulling against each other. You've acquired Opsgenie and announced that this week. You've released Jira Ops this week, both aimed at resolving that and providing better communication, a workflow and everything else. How is your team pulling those in and then looking at both DevOps and ITSM, ensuring that they work within that new framework?
We're definitely on a journey in terms of all of these new developments. It's not quite something we've totally solved yet, but I think we've made a good start. What we'll be doing over time is really just thinking about how does this break down to units of work. We've been very good traditionally at helping software teams take an idea or a problem, something that needs to be done, and turn that into value. You've got your delivery stream from idea to production. Now we're recognizing that in the world there's incidents, things can go wrong. That's a different kind of work item with another kind of workflow that needs to be centralized and tracked and ideally automated and simplified so that teams aren't thrashing, especially at critical times when there are outages. I think it's really about us taking those things and hooking up the right things, making sure the right people get the right information at the right time. The way we try and arrange things in our tools really is trying to be as aware of that and really just mindful of these people are involved in these different journeys and making sure that they're actually facilitated as best as they can be.
If we think about the impact DevOps has had on process, we're writing software faster, we're changing software on a more regular basis. That means all these processes that were great for waterfall because you could write them once and still be coding it 6 years later. Suddenly that process has to be constantly changing because the business changes. And we're seeing companies taking their DevOps methodology and they're building their business process as the software is written, so the two are going in line. When we look at Opsgenie and we look at Jira Ops and incident management, there's an opportunity here, isn't there, to look at both what's going on the ITIL, ITSM side and DevOps and potentially now rewrite those processes in a fluid way to deal with a new world.
Not necessarily rewriting, but it's certainly adapting them to do the same jobs we would have done before, but in a much more agile way, for lack of a better word. Taking out some of the things that were either manual or unnecessarily complicated in the past, simplifying them and making them more adaptable to change, more recognizing that we are making more changes more often. There's less risk involved, but there are things that can fail more often, and building in all the various things. And it goes all the way up and down the stack from the code you write to how you write it to how you deploy and operate it. All of those things need to work in harmony and in recognition that these are all different ways of working.
We've seen DevOps finally start to embrace security with shift left, except people don't like saying DevOpsSec or SecDevOps, whichever way around they want to be. How are you adapting for that here?
One thing in particular that we've worked on lately that I'm really excited about, we have a thing called Code Insights coming soon to Bitbucket Server and Data Center. Basically, we have tools that often generate this security scanning and similar sorts of information, but they're in the pipeline further downstream from where the development has happened. With the Code Insights that we're putting into our products now, these tools can actually push the results of these scans into the Git hosting tool or collaboration tool that you're using. At the same time that your teams are reviewing code collaboratively, you're doing peer review, you're also being prompted to think about, hey, this might be a security vulnerability, and it's not something you get separately in your email inbox or that you have to go into another tool to check whether you've passed that. It's actually bringing it upstream. And of course, over time, we can make that more and more of a thing where certain things may actually gate even before you have a deployment gate. This is before code is even merged. People are catching problems earlier. Obviously, that's cheaper than catching them later. I think that's a really exciting opportunity, and that's one example that where security plays a part. I'm sure there's others.
One of the interesting things is when I look at your tools, they're not just used inside IT. Many of your tools are starting to be used by other teams inside organizations. And the irony is that the basic principles of DevOps can be applied to so many different parts of an organization. We see Trello boards all over the place inside a business. How do you begin to stretch your legs? How do you begin to look at the product and say, well, okay, we've historically written for technology teams, but how do we take that into marketing? How do we expand that into where it could work for recruitment? So the whole onboarding from HR through to giving somebody an identity to then feeding them into technology.
It's a good question. There's a few elements of those things that we're putting out now about how some of the ways we work internally. We have often good examples of our own about how we work. So you would have seen at Summit here today, I hope, the talk on how we work open. And that's one of those philosophies that also underpins DevOps in some ways. It's about the visibility of information and the access to it, reducing the reasons to slow down a process, and then expanding those ideas out across other functions. Those sorts of things and the visibility open by default, I think, is part of that, and it's about raising awareness of it. And also showing people a reason to want to do that. That's always a challenge as well. Like, DevOps isn't a solved problem in software either, as in everyone's using it. So for the same reasons, maybe we need a different terminology, a different set of ideas and principles that is more approachable, because DevOps sounds quite technical. But applying the same ideas, you talk about lean, you talk about automation, the CALMS principles, starting to not adapt, but find out what that means when you apply it to other parts of business.
You mentioned earlier that you're looking at the server and the data center products, and we know that you run different streams of code here because of architectures and the complexity between server, data center, and the cloud. At what point do you take those principles across and run them in cloud? Is that running slightly behind the maturity you have within your server and data center product?
I wouldn't say anything's running behind anything else. In fact, the whole point of the separation is to optimize for those environments. Cloud's running ahead in a lot of ways. They can turn around with access to analytics and being able to get something into production and 24 hours later getting an answer to a question. They can prove a lot of things quite quickly. In the server and data center world, there are other things that we can do that are a bit different, but we also need to be mindful that we actually don't get to experiment as much. And so neither really runs behind. I think we're building certain functionality and things that are more enterprise focused, and that's obviously something we want to also make sure happens in the cloud at some point too. We use the server and data center offerings as our proving ground for those sorts of solutions, but then as and when it makes sense, we definitely take those ideas across to the other products as well.
So we've seen some interesting announcements, as I said earlier, here this week, Jira Ops, Ops Genie, other things going on. What can we expect over the next few months?
There's a lot of things across all the products that drive things forward. We're looking at improving how software teams deliver software with Bitbucket and Bamboo and Jira. There's a whole lot of improvements around how IT teams do service delivery with Jira Service Desk. In particular, we're focusing on things like some of the basic capabilities that are just expected to be there, making sure that they're really robust, but also looking at ways to make service delivery faster. Going back to the earlier topic of slow, clunky processes, some of that is the tools themselves slowing you down. We want to make sure that we aren't the bottleneck if you're in a position to move fast.
I don't envy you trying to match the two together. Thank you very much, Roger.
Thanks very much. It's great to talk to you.